Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here on a week that's been fantastic for Apple News. There's loads of stuff going off. And there was a keynote, of course, on Monday that we covered live and I uploaded that pretty quickly as well, didn't I? So that was pretty cool. And joining me, fantastic bunch to sit and talk through all of the stuff that we had to receive. And it couldn't be better. It has to be brilliant. Start us off top left, Doc. How you doing, mate?
Good. I'm changing my name to Doc Plus, by the way.
You're Doc Plus now, right? Okay. Are you
Plus. I want to be just like Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, but are you $9.99 as well?
Stone? Yeah. I'm kidding there.
Pounds. You had a good week, mate?
Oh, yeah. It's been just very busy, but very good busy, not bad busy. So that's always good.
Good and a good night drinking last night on your own.
Yeah.
In the office.
Yeah. You know, I keep having this idea that if you keep drinking single malts, it might turn into a double malt, but it doesn't seem to work. But I keep experimenting.
Okay.
Well, Doc, you have to drink twice as much.
I did. It's not working.
What was your tipple of choice last night? Then what were you smashed on, or don't you remember?
So Chivas Regal, which is really weird because I always thought it was an old man drink. That's my grandpa's drink. But they recently put out a bottle called Mizuna. And what it is it's Chivas Regal distilled in a Japan way. So it's very good. And it uses water from Mount Otokuyama. It's amazing. It's very smooth. It's problematically smooth.
Yeah, easy drinking. I got stitched up in a whiskey shop a few weeks back, which I think I told people. But I ended up buying, despite declaring a budget of £50, I ended up buying a 92-pound bottle of whiskey. But I have to say, it was Highland Park 18-year-old, and it was gorgeous. And I did Google it, think, God, I've been ripped off here. And actually, it was £20 cheaper than anywhere I could find it on an internet search, including Amazon. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. Good. It was pretty good.
Highland Park is good.
Highland Park was lovely, yeah. I tried the 12-year-old the other night, and that wasn't as good. You could tell the difference, very much so. Jeffrey, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. And
you had a week off?
Hmm?
You had a week off. How's your dad?
Dad is doing great.
Brilliant.
Yes. And it was really crazy there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For a few days. But dad's doing great now.
Brilliant news. My mum had a gallbladder out, and she was a different woman afterwards.
It's, you know, I can believe it. I mean, seeing my dad in the morning before his surgery, where he looked fine, but then seeing him that night after he was recovering, I mean, he looked like a new person.
Yeah, good.
And his gallbladder was in oh my God, it had to come out, and it had to come out that day.
Yeah, yeah.
We were at the end of the line for that. So hooray for medical science.
And you should have done it sooner. Yeah.
Well, it was one of those things where there were no signs.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's good. Yeah.
Good. Glad he's all right, mate.
Me too.
Last but by no means least, we didn't scare her off. How are Abishia? How are you doing, mate?
I'm fine.
I'm gobsmacked. Good. You're
glad
back.
To be back.
I'm gobsmacked. You're back.
Yes, I am. You didn't scare me off, no.
No, we can repel female pundits without any with ease.
Fantastic. I'm made of strong stuff.
Good on you. And how have you been? What have you been up to?
Busy, very, very busy. Preparing for WordCamp London.
Yeah, now you said there's tickets still available.
There's tickets still available, so if anybody wants to go on there, they can just go onto the website.
And what?
London.wordcamp.org. And you can still get tickets. They're only about £40 for a 3-day event, so yeah.
That is good. And what 3 days is it?
It's Friday the 5th is a contributor day, so it's anybody in the community can just come and have a chat. And the last 2 days, so that's Saturday the 6th and the 7th, are the actual event days. So there's a lot of workshops, talks, and there's 3 different tracks. So whether you're into development, business, a blogger, anything really to do with WordPress, cool. You'll find it there.
Can you go if you don't know anything about WordPress?
Yes, I did that last year and it was fine. I went to the Brighton one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I might come then.
Come along. It's a great place for networking. So
Friday, Saturday, you're Sunday. Earlier.
You and you should totally go.
Yeah. Oh, right. Friday, Saturday, great. Sunday. So yeah, I'll get the link and I'll put it in the chat room actually.
Yep. No, we'll try and get the show published before the Monday, and then people have got a chance to sign up for it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I do fancy that, I have to say, but it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday's not probably going to happen. I wish.
Yeah.
I really wish.
Now I have to go for the whole thing. Yeah. But it is, the tickets are only £40 for the event, so yeah.
Cool. The Apple keynote, then, I guess that's where we got to start and go through it all. Where to start, though, that's the interesting thing. Should we start with News Plus? Just do it in order of what happened?
Sure.
News Plus, then. So News Plus came. It's available now. So that's the only thing that they announced that you can get straight away. And for $9.99 a month, you get loads of magazines and access to newspaper. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I think for a lot of people, yes. It was a straight pull off of not really, what the thing called? Oh my God. It was a magazine, not title. I forgot what it's called now. But there was a magazine subscription thing that came out and it had a nice uptake and a lot of people were sponsored by it, whatever. But it's weird, though, that came out at right about the time that I was getting rid of reading magazines, per se.
Zinnia, that one?
No, it's a different one. It was on all the podcasts. They sponsored, like, every podcast in the world. And I can't remember what it is. See, it's not that important. Never mind. But anyway, but yeah, I basically sort of stopped reading magazines around that time and co-opted more podcasts. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this one.
What do you think about the price thing? Because at the moment, Readly, I think, is about £8 over here. And a lot of the people in the Slack room were going on about the fact that it's got thousands on Readly that you can look at, whereas mm-hmm. you've only got 300 at most here, haven't you, with Apple?
Yeah. They tend to do that.
Does anyone already subscribe to Readly, the 3 year?
No.
No, I don't either.
We are probably not the target audience for that product. Mm. But for the people who are, now they have an option. And Apple has a track record of starting off with a limited selection in whatever the space is. And then it expands out over time.
Right.
So yeah, and so the one I was talking of is texture.
Oh, texture, yeah. Bob Peach is... That's what Bob didn't answer. If Bob had said, Doc's thinking of texture, then I'd have said, read it out. But he just put texture. He did start to get frustrated as well because he put it in caps. He was shouting out. Mm.
Sorry, Beachy.
Yeah, sorry, man. The stuff that was on offer looked really good. And the quality of it looked excellent. And you've got to think that maybe there's a bit more that's going to happen with over time where people... But they did the kind of magazine through iPad when that first came out. And that got quite innovative for a while, but then it just sort of died a death, didn't it?
I think part of the
Wired was great.
Wired was good, and the interaction stuff was really good. The thought about dragging in from different angles and those kind of things was cool.
I think the problem there was that publishers had to take the content they already had and then work it into a new system. Right. And there were a lot of publishers that weren't interested in investing the time or money into doing that, which is unfortunate because that whole magazine concept that Apple came up with, It was really cool and really innovative, but if the publishers weren't going to take the time to really commit to it, well, it was just dead.
Yeah.
This overcomes that problem.
Well, when it first came out and like the sort of interactive magazines, Rio Ferdinand used to put out this really cool magazine called Five, and it was like the most intense, like interactive magazine on the iPad when it first came out. And it was so exciting. Like, they took the, it was like the level of 442 magazine's design, but then you add this crazy interaction. And I guess, like Jeff said, it just died off, because for him to put out something like that every month was next to impossible at the time where the whole app industry was growing. So people who could actually do the work, there weren't enough of them now. And I think if someone were to redo that now, where there's more and more people sort of skilled in building apps or building that interaction, then you're not fighting for the same, you know, four developers in each town. You might get away with it, but it was premature, but it was amazing. If you could ever find one on the bookstore, you would just see like what an incredible magazine it was.
Yeah. No, it's the Wired thing was good. I remember reading that, and they did a thing with because it was because of the tie-up with Apple and Disney. They did a thing with Toy Story, didn't they? That was kind of cool on it, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really a magazine person, so I can't really comment.
Well, you see, now the thing is, I mean, so if you paid your £10, would you be would you be a magazine person though?
There's nothing.
Because I would.
I don't see anything on there that I might read. I don't know.
I think it's very. The magazine selection is going to be very US biased, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if there were more UK-ish ones, sorry,
You're not getting Gardeners Weekly or something like Gardeners.
No, I'm not getting Gardeners Weekly.
No, that wasn't. I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying one's not. One is not getting Gardeners Weekly, is it? On that
yeah.
List, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Someone
and so that was part of the rub of the digital stuff, because it turns out the top three magazines I read are all UK publications. And then so going the digital route was worth it for me, because in the US, UK mag, like, you know, a company called Imaging or Image used to put out and still do put out some really incredible computer magazines and sort of music magazines. So a lot of what I learned about from Photoshop and even video editing came from these big, slick UK magazines, always used to have a CD on the front. Jeff knows what I'm talking about. You guys, to you, is probably regular, but to us, they were big. And all the, you know, Borders and Barnes & Nobles used to have a special section for these import magazines that was real good with photos and real, you know, intense magazines. So when it came digital, I was all about it because it was cheaper. But now I don't even read that anymore, because you watch YouTube, you know, in the can, and because it's more interesting.
Yeah, I think that's it for me. I spend more time on YouTube than I do looking at magazines now.
I started if like something's rendering here, or if I've got a break and I sit and I generally flick up YouTube and start watching something interesting on that, and then and that's a rat hole that just never ends.
Yeah,
if I'm not careful, it's like, you know, the thing I was rendering finished 3 hours ago.
Yeah. You know, at this point, I have a single magazine subscription, and it's Smithsonian. And I have that because reading Smithsonian articles, for me, it's almost like I'm getting a monthly-ish packet of really great literature, because their articles are always so well-written.
Yeah. So I've got the list up here of what you're going to get. And there's the Oprah Winfrey Magazine, Martha Stewart Living. I think I can pass on that one. Now, good housekeeping there, but I bet that's the American version of it. Now, I don't know, but it's got Town and Country. Now, I thought that was a British mag, I have to say. Is that an American mag, Town and Country?
Is London and Country or something?
I don't know.
Was it Country? I can't remember. We have something in Country.
Yeah, yeah. But then there's Men's Health, Men's Journal, that kind of stuff, GQ, which you'll get the transatlantic version, I'm sure. The entertainment stuff is Rolling Stone, People Magazine. Those are all going to be American. I can't see anything that's biased to the UK there for definite. Vanity Fair, New York Magazine in News and Politics, Fortune Magazine. Yeah, what did Ewan do for the whole show? Read out 300 magazines. Wired, National Geographic. No, National Geographic would be good.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. PC Mag, PC World Magazine, Macworld Magazine, Popular Mechanics.
Macworld Magazine, that's going to be British.
Right.
Because there is no US Macworld Magazine.
Oh, okay. That's good. Good news. Mac format, Mac life, how it works, all about space.
Mac format, that's
all about
UK.
Space. Yeah, and T3.
That's what I meant. Mac format. That was what I was looking for. That was the name of the magazine that I was thinking of.
Yeah, as soon as you said it, I knew that's what you were looking for.
A whole pile of travel ones. Sports Illustrated. I knew that was going to be in there too. Lame excuse to look at women's bums. Golf.
Move to Hawaii.
Golf Digest. Daily. Golf Plus. Radar. Bike Radar. Canadian running. So golf tips. This is a really good list. BBC Wildlife Magazine is in there.
That might persuade me. A few of those.
Do you know the funny thing? Jeff mentioned his only magazine subscription. Now I have only one too. This is it.
Whiskey Advocate.
That's my one magazine now. And it's funny, as you're reading off, I'm thinking of the ones I used to read, and I used to read a lot of computer magazines, but many of them have died.
Yeah.
So like the blogs, the, you know, Mac Rumors, the Apple World Today, the Mac Observer, you know, Verge, Ars Technica, these things have taken over Mac World Magazine since it died here.
There's a lot of cool
stuff. And Vanity Fair YouTube is amazing. They put out great videos.
I've got to say, reading down the list, I'm close to clicking buy because it goes for the family. So the sciencey stuff, Briny would really like. Spacey stuff. Ellis would like some stuff there. So it goes through family sharing. I'm dead tempted, I have to say. News Plus will probably get most of the traffic as part of the bigger single subscription package. Once it comes to the UK, there'll be surely an awful lot more UK magazines that are added. And I thought that was interesting. That's Bob Beach who said that. But the thing that I was interested in mind is this $9.99 for this list of magazines and that's capped? Or is this just going to grow, but the subscription's not going to change? What do we think?
It'll probably the latter. It'll grow in a
Yes. Mm-hmm. What Doc was saying, the price will stay the same. You'll get more magazines.
Because it's going to be, so it's going to be like with, Apple Music. You know, it's based on the number of reads. Is the income, proportional income that goes to the magazine producer.
Yeah.
Yep. So we could add a BTN magazine.
Yeah.
That we produce monthly and get a
proportion. Mm-hmm. What if we knew a writer named Jeff Gamet?
Yeah.
What if?
Jeff.
I've heard about that guy. I don't know about him.
Jeff does fudge all during the day. I see him. He just goes on podcasts and pretends.
Yeah.
What a beautiful job.
So that's News Plus. That was good. Apple Card. Now then, this is going to be, because this is you guys only. We are not getting this. And I don't know if we're getting this ever, let alone in a year's time or something. Because at the moment, Apple's underwritten by Barclays.
Barclays, yep.
Only here. So the tie-up with Goldman Sachs is US only. Is that a good thing? Because I don't know what Goldman Sachs is like as a business. Are they a bit of tossers, or they're quite small? Or large,
they
or?
Were. They were huge. Well, Goldman Sachs is massive, but they were part of the 2007 debacle.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So what's happening to me is, you know, when you and the mates go out and get right pissed and then you do something stupid and you spend the next year and a half trying to get your old lady not to kill you? Yeah, this is Goldman Sachs trying to bring flowers to the U.S. and clean up the backyard and, you know, wash the skit and whatever.
I've got to tell you this while I think about it. I've got a friend. I've got a couple of friends and they're married. And they own a good company. They're well-to-do. Jeff bought a horse. And he was just like, I can't let on about this. I just can't let on because this is, you know, my wife's going to go mad. And his wife's name's Faith. And they said, well, you've got to pick a name for it. You need to pick a name for the horse. Otherwise, we can't run it in races. You'll never win anything. You never get your money back. And he went, okay. And they called it Don't Tell Faith. And the horse is called Don't Tell Faith.
Oh, good one.
Which is brilliant.
So after the horse wins the Kentucky Derby, say, hey honey, I bought a horse.
No, she knows now, but it was there was a bit of subterfuge, but I thought it was hilarious. It was brilliantly done. They're lovely people, absolutely gorgeous people. In fact, their son Callum is the guy that's helped me to lose all the weight.
That's awesome.
He's brilliant. Right, Apple Card then. Get back to that. So Goldman Sachs. Now, wasn't there a thing with Goldman Sachs? This is purely litigious, and I've just got in my head a recollection that there was a... Is it a family that owns Goldman Sachs? And there was a Walmart kind of scandally type thing with them. Or am I making... I'm making that up, maybe. So don't worry about me. Ignore me. If you want to sue me, that's
they
okay.
They were...
I did say I wasn't sure.
Well, you figure these hedge fund guys, like they sponsor or they take care of the money for some really large families that have lots of money that do somewhat shady things. So right now, the scary family is the Sacklers, and they're worth more than many countries. They got Apple level money, but they're responsible for OxyContin. And so that's the reason why everybody's up in arms with them right now. But Goldman Sachs does need to wash their hands. And if they're going to do right by this, it's good. Because right now, the current banking structure in the U.S. is a little bit shady. Because Wells Fargo, then Wells Fargo said, we're sorry. And they started doing the same crap again. So, the credit situation after 07, 08 has just been a major mess. And so you figure last year when the credit sort of holding company, the people that was making decisions, when they got busted for letting out too much of folks' data, that also became a mess. So right now what has most people scared is if Equifax can't hold on to the data, why would Apple? Well, because Apple's a tech company and they're better at it. They're just much better at it. So I kind of wish I could give my TransUnion Equifax data to Apple and be like, you guys hold it, and these other guys keep your dirty hands off of it.
So I'm sitting here trying to be quite diplomatic about remembering any bad details about Goldman Sachs, and Deepan just types, Goldman Sachs is the devil in the chat room. So I don't know why I bothered. And he's put, I think that Goldman Sachs will want to control this globally. And I don't know what their standing is in the UK. That'd be interesting. Bob Beach said they're an investment bank, not a retail bank. So I don't know if that influences how they actually then operate the card. City Watch, and then House fans found a story that City Watchdog finds Goldman Sachs for misreported transactions, which is factual and logical. That's fair enough. But Deepan...
And that was just recently.
Yeah, but Deepan then reinforces his point by finding... Goldman Sachs is the devil. He's evil. Sorry. There's an article in the Insider, so.
Yeah, so again, this is one of those things, and large companies have often do this, where there's the good guys that are out there trying to do stuff, and then there's the shady guys all the way at the top doing stuff, and normally the good guys get quiet because the shady guys are doing dirty. But, I mean, they are just like JP Morgan Chase is actually more of a investment banker than a retail bank. The Chase Bank is their little, that's a toy project to them, but that's what people know them from because it's the most customer facing.
Cool. So with Apple Card, you get 1% cash back for standard card purchases, 2% cash back for Apple purchases, and 3% Apple Pay purchases, and 3% back for Apple purchases of Apple equipment in Apple stores and is. That's quite good. 3% is a fair sum. If you're buying...
Okay, so...
Go on, sorry.
So Dave. I've been looking at this.
Oh, okay. That's a but. That sounds like a but.
Well, maybe you guys can help me sort this out. So I'm not throwing it out as it looks good, but I just need some help sorting this out. When I look at what you get with the Apple Card, I mean... Those numbers sound nice. It's not a card that I look at and think, okay, Apple is doing something remarkably different in that aspect, because we're talking about things that lots of reward cards do. And the whole thing with tracking your expenses, that's something that we've been able to do with some other things. When I look at this card, what I'm seeing is a card that caters to people that are really concerned about security, and then people that buy a lot of Apple stuff. And then if also if you pay off your credit card statement in full every month, if that whole package doesn't match you, then is something like the Amazon Visa a better choice, where you're getting 3% back on regular purchases and 5% back if you're a Prime member, that is, 5% back on all your Amazon purchases.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you bought,
so I get 5% on Amazon purchase through Discover.
Yeah, but if you get you can still buy Apple products through Amazon because they're all tied up and loved together now. So you'd still get your Apple products and still get you'd end up with 5% if it was.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So actually, they're 2% shy on their own purchases.
Yeah,
3% silent. Yeah.
So now, one of the things that's Apple interesting card, to me about the interest side of it, and it's genius, and if the other banks had thought of this before, we'd probably have less of a hassle. Which gets people in trouble is some people are very good at paying their stuff every month, and you never really run into it. But if something does come up, it's nice to be able to look at it and go, you know what, this month I'm going to pay only $100 on the card, and I'll let it slide. I can take care of something that's going on with the family, or, you know, house, you know, wall fell down or something. And then you go back in and you pay it down and you're fine. But what happens is many people in the beginning, especially kids in college, when they get that first college card, they don't know that the way the interest is calculated is really, really bad. And that's how you get into trouble. So recently, there's this great thing going in Congress where they're trying to get rid of the payday lenders because they say, oh, well, it's only, you know, a 20% interest, which doesn't sound too bad if you're a poor person and you need to go through a payday loan. But what they're doing is they're calculating that basically every day. So over the course of the year, it's technically a 521% interest, which should be illegal, but it's not because they put it in the contracts the way they calculate it. And most people can't do the calculation in their head that quick, so they don't realize how bad it gets. And that's how people get themselves in trouble, even with something as simple as like a 14, 15% interest because of the way credit cards calculate it. So Apple's cool thing is, even in the course of a month, instead of having one pay period, if something comes up, so you just win $100 off of your friend, you could actually immediately make a payment, and that will come out as like a 1% or 2% because you didn't keep it out very long. You know, the longer you keep it out, the higher the interest goes. That's an interesting play, but I still think it's a little too complicated for the average consumer. But the app does
it. They just want to see a balance, and they want to see a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they mention the interest rate?
Yeah.
They said there was no rate.
There's no interest.
No. So it scales. No. So what happens is, if you pay it off at the end of the month, your interest rate is basically zero. But if
isn't it?
If you pay it off, you know, like say in 32 days, your interest rate only comes out to like 1% because it was 32 days. But if you pay it off in say 180 days, your interest rate might crank up to like 20 some odd percent. Because the more you're making them hold it, the longer they charge the interest. So they're like the nice loan shark. The faster you pay it back, the less the interest.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder what the appetite for this is in the UK. I mean, it's because I don't have credit cards. I never have. And it's just like, I spend the money I've got and I don't spend the money I haven't got. And that's the end of it. I've got no credit. I've got a really poor credit score because I've got no credit. I don't owe anyone anything apart from me mortgage. And that's nearly finished. So I don't know if I'd want it anyway.
How widespread Apple Pay use was. And I know I only have a small subset of data because I was in London and surrounding areas for only 10 days. But the idea of someone pulling a physical card out of their wallet and paying with that just seemed so weird everywhere I went.
Yeah.
So I could see for someone that occasionally does need to use the physical card, but they're just using Apple Pay to pay for everything other than that.
Yeah,
I could see where that could be something that would play well in the UK, but I mean,
maybe if it was a debit card. Out
once the whole time I was there, and it was weird.
See, that's a good point there. How a debit? See that? Go on, say that again.
If it was a debit card, I think it would probably do much better here in the UK. I don't see how the credit card would work.
Yeah, the debit card thing for me is because I like Apple Pay. I love it, but I can't get it on any of the business cards that I've got. I've got it on only on my business debit stuff. I've only got it on my personal card. Mm. And my personal card, I never really put much money in there anyway. So it's like I've got to remember to put £200 or £300 in, and then I can use that when I go and buy stuff. And then I've got to put the receipt through and for business and that kind of stuff. And then it's come out my personal account rather than the business account. So therefore, there's questions about the receipting and that kind of thing of it. This one, I really want Apple to let me use my business debit on Apple Pay. It's going to be so much more secure.
I can tell you how to do it because I did it until recently when my bank finally decided to let it go. I would fill Apple Pay Cash with the money from the business checking. And then you can set it to autofill if you hit a bottom, you know what I mean? So right. I would put like $500 on Apple Pay Cash from the business checking. All the receipts are there. It's all electronic, the whole nine yards. And Apple Pay Cash does have a credit card portion in your wallet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you look at the black card with the little HomePod on the bottom, there's a number at the top, and that says what you put in. So you just basically connect it to your business bank and then do it that way. Because I'm now like Jeff, I get incredulous when someone pulls out a plastic card. I'm like, really? And then every once in a while, somebody would still pull out a checkbook, and I kind of want to club them. I ain't gonna lie. I get violent when, long line, it's a Saturday at Costco, or I don't know what you guys call Costco over there, Tesco, and then somebody pulls out a freaking paper check. I just want to kill them. It drives me nuts.
I can't even, I would probably just have to leave my stuff and walk out of the store if someone ahead of me had a check.
It's just one of those things.
Well, there's no checks. Like, you can't do checks in this country anymore in stores.
Really? No, not in stores. Awesome. Just in the bank.
Got it. How do we do that? I want to set that up.
No, just businesses just say if you pay us with a check, then you can sod off. So that you cannot pay with a check in places. They just refuse to accept it as a payment method. So I've just tried to see if Barclays have changed the ruling on business debit, and they haven't. So you still can't register it.
So that might be a good way to get in, though, because I think in a way, like, well, Square app and a bunch of other apps have basically become the debit cards now, right? So, yeah, I think there might be a way to do it. But I still think the craziest part of this is just going to be, one, it brings more light to Apple Pay. And so maybe that will fix the last curmudgeon-y people. Businesses that don't accept Apple Pay. And just like Jeff was saying, I get super mad when I go to a business and I go to tap my card and they go, oh, no, our machine doesn't do that. I have actually turned around and go, that's okay. Because it's just irritating. You know, I don't want to get after Target and these guys, Walgreens, gave up all of everyone's information. I don't want to swipe my card at their stupid terminal.
Yeah, I've had my card skimmed in Target.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I try and avoid using a card everywhere I can and do Apple Pay because I typically get my card skimmed twice a year.
Yeah.
I love the fact there's no numbers on there. That's dope. You can't read it.
That's what I don't get. It's so secure. It's so much more secure. Why not let businesses do that? Because the business risk account is the risk, the huge risk for me.
Right.
You know, the big thing in the United States for a lot of businesses not accepting Apple Pay is that they don't want to buy new card readers. I mean, that's a bottom line.
And the card readers are cheap. That's the part that's painful is card readers are cheap.
Yeah. And we're at the point now, if a store of a business doesn't accept Apple Pay, what they're now telling me is that they value their own spreadsheets more than the customers they serve.
Yep.
Chat room's chiming in. They're saying 2 to 3. Trigger says 2% to 3% cashback would be awesome here, but he doesn't think it's going to translate over the pond to come to here. The smart thing with the credit card is that they're giving the usual transaction fees back to the customer, so only making money on interest fees and the profit of purchasing nothing any other from Apple, says Bob. I'd like an Apple Pay card, but I'd pay it off completely each month, no question. And then Trigger says NatWest is testing fingerprint debit cards with a few customers at the moment. Mm. Interesting.
That's interesting. Cool.
Well, cool. Apple TV Plus then. So the there's a change to the app for a start. And I've got to say, the old app I thought was a bit of a... The current app, there's a lot of times it doesn't start programs properly. And you go into movies to watch the movie and start watching the movie and it goes, yep, that's fine. And it clicks off and it starts, no worries. And then next time you come back to it, it's like, would you want to continue watching in the Apple TV app? And when you click yes, it won't start the movie. It just can't seem to. It doesn't start content. And I don't know why. But then I've got issues with my Apple TV that every time I come back to it after a day of it being on standby, I have to unplug it and plug it back in to get it to start. So.
I think there's something wrong with your Apple TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, just Crikey Trousers in the Slack room, just as an anecdote, he went into Apple this week because his AirPods had stopped charging. And he said, so you're going to fix it? And they said... yeah, but it's going to cost you £69. And he said, but it's warranty. And they went, no, it's 17 days out of warranty. And he just went, okay. And he hadn't got the receipt, so he just thought, fine. So he walked out. He was a bit pissed off. And I said, they can't. And we, loads of us said, no, it's 2-year warranty, mate. They cannot be out of warranty. And he dug out the receipt. And he said they were 1 year and 7 months since he purchased it. So where they've got the 17 days from, he has absolutely no idea. But they refuse to fix them. So he's going to go back in and go 2-year warranty. But that's horrific. And Apple's done that to me. They've gone and said, oh, you need to pay us for this. And I'm like, 2-year warranty? And they went, yeah, okay, you don't need to pay for it. Like, why are you scamming? That's no cool. Not cool at all.
That's the person who you interacted with. That's not a company thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We do have people that just
it's a company thing. If the company employee says it, mate, you can't get away from that.
Well, if an employee says it, yeah, it's a company thing. I get what you're saying. But yeah. That's an untrained person, and that's super irritating because every time somebody has an interaction with somebody that doesn't care to read the updates and pay attention, it can be really horrible. And so, like, I've stood there where a guy, you know, someone brings in, remember the old PowerBooks, the 12s, right?
Oh, yeah.
We had a long-standing fixed policy on those 12s because there was a, you know, like a manufacturer's type thing. And so people would come in and one of the guys would be like, oh, it's old, it's out of warranty. And then people would look sad. And then right when they're about to walk out, somebody else would catch them and go, oh, no, we have a special warranty program on that. We covered it an extra 3 years. So 7-year-old, you know, 12-inch power books were still covered. So they do have these things. Like right now, you can still get a 15-inch pre-flat, you know, pre-touch bar fixed because they had a logic board problem with NVIDIA cards. So if you happen to have the right serial number, it's covered. But you'd have these guys that don't even look at the number and go, it's old, it's out of warranty. And that's super irritating. Just put it in the system. The system will tell you
exactly that, yeah.
And it will flag all of the special considerations because there are often special considerations because Apple uses a lot of vendors for various parts and sometimes those vendors screw up. So yeah. That's just a lazy person. If you can, go to a different store or just call them on the phone before you go down there and yell at someone in person. And as ex-Apple employee telling you.
I think that's
ask to speak to the lead genius.
That's a good point.
Because the lead genius won't screw that up.
That's a good point there that people should. And all the listeners, if you've got an issue with Apple, do what Doc says there. Go in. And if the person says no, just say, look, put the details in and do what the system tells you to do. Because I know the system tells you to do it. That's a really good tip. Really good. Yeah.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
I think there's an education problem with Apple employees. But I see this at any retail place.
Every store now. It's just a generation problem. And I don't want to beat on millennials because not all of them are like that. But when you got, you know, sort of latchkey parents and snowplow parents and helicopter parents, it's no wonder that a lot of these kids can't do anything. Because I know as a parent adjacent, as the uncle of a 9-year-old, I am always unprogramming all the bad stuff that she learns from her friends nearly daily. Because we teach her not that way, and then she picks it up at school, and I have to take it out of her and be like, it's okay that Tiffany does that, but if you do that, I will peel you apart and send you in little bits to Uncle Ewan in England.
Oh. I didn't know it was an uncle. Cool.
In Hawaii, anyway, every older person is an uncle. Because right. In Hawaii, we teach that respect. But it doesn't really go there in a lot of communities.
So going back to the Apple TV app. So there's channels coming, and there's loads of stuff coming associated with that and entertainment stuff as well. But, I mean, the first look at the app, there's been a few people had a go with it. And it is getting, if you look at the one on Mac Rumors, people are liking it.
Oh, it's gorgeous. The idea that you don't have to jump out of the app to watch content, that's big. Because right with the old version, you'd pick the show you want to watch and click play, and now it jumps you to that network's app.
Right.
And yeah, and that was always confusing for a lot of people. And annoying for those of us that just wanted to have a unified interface. The new app gets us a lot closer to that unified interface.
Well, it's funny because they're all sort of web apps in general, right? So all you need to do is pull the RTSP stream into the viewport that's there, not make you go launch the whole other app. And like you said, the reason why that would be irritating, some of the apps, like HBO, for instance, and Showtime Anytime, they take forever to load. It's like for a company of their size, it shouldn't take forever to load. They should have the right developers. But also as key partners, Apple developers should be testing this out and go, hey, you know, HBO, your app takes damn near 3 minutes to load in 2019 on a 4K Apple TV with a 18-wheeler for a processor. Let us help you make the front end shorter, because it's dumb. And that makes it seemed like the Apple TV is bad, not the individual apps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think they definitely need a team that goes around and checks the apps and be like, hey, can we help you tighten this up? Or can you, you know, change this authentication way to this way to make the process smoother? Now, for the small little Manini apps, I don't see them doing that. But for the bigger apps that take forever to load, there definitely should be some conversation.
Yeah. And of course, then Oprah Winfrey was there. The God's right-hand lady walked out, and everything was okay. Because Oprah's involved. There was a good old cast list there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, was actually.
That can't have been. There was no pricing on Apple's entertainment solutions. No, because based on that, they'd have to charge £9.99 or $9.99 per person per hour to pay for just Oprah to be there.
I was going to say a day.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Apple. Yeah. This is Miss Winfrey's agent. Yes. How much would it be for Oprah for the day? That's why Apple's share price went during the keynote. Holy crap. They've paid for Oprah. They've emptied the war chest.
We're going to need your whole entire iPod division and a couple of those. What are those little notebooks called? MacBooks. Yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
And then we'll start the conversation there. I wonder here's what I think about their subscription thing. And this is pure spitballing, but if the creators are realizing now the power of Apple, when Apple first got into trying to get movies into iTunes, a lot of those creators and the companies that they worked for, they were in bed with, were not playing nice with Apple. And then so a lot of those guys became friends with Apple, but their companies, their Paramounts, their Universals, their Sonys, their Columbias, they still weren't playing nice with Apple. So what has happened in the music game, the overarching large record labels are dying. The guys like Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, even Kanye-Z and all these other guys, they developed their own label. right? They sign artists to their labels. So they're making direct deals with Apple Music. So if these creators are following the hip-hop industry or even rock and roll, or, you know, with Work Records for some of the house records, Work Records out of the UK, if you do your own thing and you go directly and you say, okay, I'm going to get paid off of streams, not because Paramount is doing it, I'm doing it, then it makes absolute sense what they're doing. They're going to protect their own pocket. But these creators are also pretty badass.
Mm. Yeah, no. I forgot what I was going to say then. No, I'm gone. Ubiquity as well. So the TV app is going to be in virtually everything, isn't it? I mean, they're talking about it's going to be in the Roku box. The Roku CEO was interviewed this week. Sony, LG, Samsung, Vizio have all said that they're going to include it. So
I'm glad they opened it up to more platforms.
Sorry?
The one that got the least applaud to me is the biggest one, and that's the Mac.
Right.
You yourself said, okay, I'm rendering. I press render. It tells me it's going to take an hour. And right now, you go to the browser, you pull up YouTube. But if you were in the middle of Killing Eve, and you're like, man, I got to see this next episode, to be able to just pull up, especially with PMP on the iMac, and you have this gorgeous experience, like right there where you're already sat, you already got your whiskey out, you know, you can open up and have a PD malt and finish watching whatever you're watching right at your computer.
Yeah, great. Howie, you were going to say something there?
I was saying I'm glad they've actually opened it up to more platforms.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is, if you're going to make content, you've got to make that content flow. It's got to get out. So it makes total sense. Absolute total sense. Is that kind of it, really? Was that the highlights? Have we pretty much done it, or is there? I mean, there's been a lot of updates to OSs, hasn't there, this week as well, that have popped out to accommodate some of this stuff.
It's really weird to see that coming. We've been talking about the services keynote experience for a while, and it finally came out. So I thought that was interesting. I think they need a new keynote producer.
Why?
Because I've given you and shit for about 5 years for picking on Apple's more increasingly boring keynotes.
Okay.
This one was just horrible. The information was great, but the presenter is like, come on, people. You about to be in the Apple keynote. Spend some time getting it together.
You got Jennifer Aniston out there, and she's reading from a script that makes her sound dull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. You had, like, class actors on stage. I am reading this thing that Apple is making me do.
Yeah, but I'm getting really well paid. And my agent's the same agent as Oprah Winfrey, and they've gone to the Bahamas. We're in the money. Right, okay, enough of that. Moving on. Apple have released WatchOS 5.2, which, Jeffrey, I know you have put onto your thing. And I was talking yesterday via text with Dr. Richard Harkness, who's been around the network, who's a proper doctor, not like the fake doctor that we have. And he was looking at the sinus rhythm stuff, and he was jaw dropped. He said, "I am jaw dropped that this is doing it."
Oh, it is flat out amazing, and the fact that you can send this data to your doctor as opposed to just having a little, you send them a PDF. They can open it in anything. And, I mean, it's fantastic.
No, it's brilliant. It's truly brilliant. So what's 5.2 done for you? Is it only, is that the only change, Jeff, the BCG function?
That's a big thing for you because you get it now. For me, the only noticeable changes I've seen is that a couple of the apps that I launch on my Apple Watch seem to be more stable.
Yeah, so how much more stable?
Well, there's a couple apps I would launch where they would start to launch and then just quit. And that doesn't happen anymore. Right. So, you know, it's for it. What it really comes down to for me with a 5.2 update is that I wouldn't notice anything was different if I hadn't known that it took forever for the stupid update to download and install. Now, if I get the new AirPods, the Series 2 or whatever they're calling them,
yeah,
that would make a big difference because without the 5.2 update, those won't pair with an Apple Watch.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mm. And they're out, aren't they? You can get pickups today for those, I think.
Yeah. So I have to decide, do I want to get new AirPods now or not? My first gen AirPods are still going strong.
Mm. ECG is electrical signal, isn't it? I've got that right. That's the electrical signal of the heart. So mm-hmm. If you've got arrhythmia mm-hmm. or you've got angina or something like that, that would show up.
Right.
It's not a heart attack thing, though, is it? Other than if you're in VFib or whatever. Someone's accusing Muller of being a fanboy. The chat room.
What's that? Ooh.
I can't. No, I'm not going to go with you on that one. I think that's it. There's also a someone reckons that there's been a three triangular lens thing come out on a blank, isn't there, for the new iPhone? There's been a leak about supposedly a picture of the back plate, and there's three holes on it in a triangle form, an equilateral triangle form that for the camera. And also, Intel's Coffee Lake chips have brought significant speed boosts to 2019 mics. You've gone from, on a 27-inch iMac, you've gone from 22650 Geekbench test to a 32,293. Pretty impressive.
That's a bigger increase than I would have expected to see, but that's awesome.
It's about a quarter.
Yeah, that's significant.
I think I'm getting to the stage now where I'm looking at my Mac Pro, and I was kind of like, oh, no, you know, my Mac Pro's turning away. It's going brilliantly. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. I got no issues with it at all. But it's just, there's a worry is like, okay, I need to start thinking about, I might have to replace this next year, perhaps. But it's not. It's okay. But I don't think I'll go for a Mac Pro again. I think I will go for an iMac Pro. I can't see me going for Mac Pro. And that's making me wonder about the update to the Mac Pro, whether they're actually seriously thinking about whether they need it or not.
But would you go for a Mac Pro with a display unit?
Isn't that what an iMac is?
Yeah, but at least you can take away the Mac Pro.
Yeah, no. Well, the Mac Pro is nice because, the dustbin is beautiful because it fits inside my bag. So when I finished up here tonight, I'll take it back home with me, and that means I can work at home with it over the weekend doing a little bit of stuff. So,
unless you've got space to carry the iMac Pro.
Yeah, but then you're talking about, you know, it's, I wouldn't have less than a 27-inch because there's no point. I don't know. I don't know whether, because, now you talked me out of it. There we go.
I have an old iMac and I love it, but, I'm missing my MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I got iMac 27-inch about 3 years ago, and I've always poo-pooed desktops. Because I loved my notebooks. And then when the iPad Pro came out, roughly about the same time I got the new 5K, the latest 5K, I never want to go back to a notebook again because the things that I needed my notebook for, which is simply quickly typing something out or editing videos on the road, the iPad Pro does it. My iPad Pro can edit 4K videos better than the 15-inch MacBook Pro right now. Until you get ready to do, like, you know, sort of the high-end keying and stuff like that. But then I can get to that point. I move it over to the iMac and key on the iMac. So I never want to see another notebook because I prefer the power of the desktop at this point. But to Ewan's point, the one thing that I would probably do soon is buy one of those stupid screens that him and Patrice got everybody on because I have the 27-inch iMac here. I have the old 27-inch iMac connected via Thunderbolt cable so that the old 27-inch iMac is the secondary screen for the first. But you can't do that anymore after this. This is the 13 or 2015 is the last year that I can do that. So when this one dies and this one becomes that one, the next one won't work that way anymore. So I'll probably go to one iMac. But people trip out when they say, damn, why do you have two iMacs? Because one of them is just a screen and a secondary render box.
Damn you, Deepan.
I'll just see that.
He knows I've got a problem, right? So that's like giving a white powder to a heroin addict or something like that. It's just, he knows I've got a bag issue, and he puts a link in for iMac Pro carry case.
What?
Yeah, he's put a
link. Pop it up.
I have. It's in the, hang on. Okay, so. Took a while to load the page.
That's actually really cool design.
There we go. It is really cool. It's worryingly cool. Oh,
it's basically the cardboard box turned into fabric.
Actually, that probably is that's the template.
It is. Look at it. That's brilliant.
Oh, actually, it's 137 quid. That's less than I thought it was going to be. It's still a horrific price for a bag, but it's less than I thought
but
it was going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, but now that you know that it's that box turned into a bag, if you got some butt canvas and a sewing thing, you could do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't sew for crap anymore. I used to be good at it.
For 130 quid, I'm not sure I can be bothered. But
hey, guess who's making us bags? Thanks.
Yeah, I'll send you the invoice so you can pay the deposit first. Yeah.
Yeah. The
Of course. Oh, I like that. You're smart.
And the shipping and Howie, you are a ruthless businesswoman.
I like that.
That's giving me ideas. Actually, looking at that.
Go on to do what?
To make something.
To carry your iMac in.
Yeah.
So you're going to be, so anyone who's at WordPress next week.
No, I'm not carrying that with me to WordPress.
Howie's going to be there with a stand selling things.
Yeah. If I was going away for a weekend to do some work or something, then yes, I would definitely use one of that.
Yeah. So I'm not going to buy one of those. I've forgiven Deep Pam's putting that in the link, but I'm now because he's
cause still
he's,
that's a nice bag.
It is a nice bag.
Yeah.
I'm now typing in Mac Pro carry case. See, that's the damage that this kind of thing does. I've got a sniff of it, and it's just like, ooh, new Mac Pro carry case, £119. You thieving bastards! Oh, they do a carry case for the old style cheese grater one. Now, there you go. It's £119 for a fabric one that looks like it's got sod all protection. And you can get like a aluminium black pelly case type thing for £130. That's way better. Way, way better. Oh, no. That's, oh, God. I'm going to be.
You got us going on. I'm going all over his website and looking at different things now.
I'm
going
to be out of pocket before the end of the show.
Those hard cases for laptops are pretty nice too.
That's it. Right. Right. Yeah, I'll do the advert. You guys carry on looking at your bag porn. TSO hosts, please give them the recognition that they're due because they bailed us out last year. They kept us in business. They stopped us losing money and worrying about all the stuff that we had to deal with. They are absolutely amazing to us. And they don't even necessarily want you to buy your hosting stuff from them. If you did, that would be fantastic. And they give you BTN20 as the offer code and you get 20% off your basket. But you must, every listener to this show must take to social media and say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because that's what they want from us. The brand recognition of the TSO Host service. So please take to Twitter, take to everything. And thank them for looking after us because they're absolutely brilliant. And also thanks to Telestream, who give us Wirecast, which is the software that runs the green screen behind me and all that kind of stuff. It's a fantastic piece of software if you've got a sports club or some kind of religious gathering, church or something like that. Then it's great for switching and doing stuff. Or you've got concerts, it's wonderful. And thanks also to Hoya for my show glasses. which I'm wearing here, and they're Uniku's. If you'd like Uniku, then you need to get yourself along to podcast@hoya.co.uk and email Mark, and Mark will tell you where to go to get the Hoya Uniku experience, and it is well worth having. You'll feel very special at the end. You don't actually even have to buy the glasses. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Monsieur Doc.
Okay, I got two tips for you today. Today, in honor of my new YouTube series, Doc Rock Tips, I have two tips for you. So one of the first ones that I don't know how it went quiet or went missing, and a lot of people don't know this yet, but I was setting up iPad so that Emma could watch, you know, some stuff, but I kind of don't want to give her the password. So I was like, well, how am I going to do this? So every time she takes the iPad, she picks it up, she brings it over, she shows it to my face, it opens, she gets in. Well, you could add a second face to your FaceTime now.
Cool.
And I don't know how that didn't go well advertised, but if you look in FaceTime now, and in a device that has it, sorry, not FaceTime, Face ID.
It's only recently, because I thought it was fine. I thought you could do that anyway.
Yeah, well, you can add setup and an alternate appearance now. So that's a tip that for somebody that know, or for parents, huh?
That came with iOS 12.
Yeah, but it wasn't loud enough. I don't know how I missed it. So anyway, my bigger tip. I have to do a lot of Instagram posts, and especially the new thing is Instagram stories, for not just myself, but for a bunch of clients. And so when you're doing things for Instagram stories, the old trick was to fix what you need to fix in Photoshop or Illustrator or whatever. You set it at the right ratio, which is basically 9x16. And or you know, if you're doing a regular post, it's 5x4, 4x5. You would send that stuff to your phone by AirDrop and then post it. Well, if you use Mac, actually technically you can do it on PC too, go into Safari at the top under Developer, or in Chrome under Developer, and set the user agent to iOS 12 or iOS 11 or whatever you have in your thing, and set it up as an iPhone. And if you're on Instagram, it immediately turns into the regular phone interface. So now you can upload your stories, your pictures or whatever, and type, you know, really good captions and whatnot directly from your computer without downloading these weird third-party apps that 9 times out of 10 has some kind of nefarious crap hiding in the background, jacking up your Insta data.
Excellent. Good, cool thing.
You can do it directly from the developer, you know, viewport.
So where do people go to get all your cool tips, mate?
On YouTube, it's youtube.com/DocRock, and the new thing is Doc Rock Tips. And I have the new website, Doc Rock Tips, as I'm fleshing it out, but I'll do a full like launch pretty soon.
Excellent, mate. Good point. Jeff, what do you have for us?
I have a new iPhone and iPad app that came out just this week, and it's CardHop, which has been available on the Mac for a while, but they just came out with an iOS version. And it's an alternate interface for interacting with all the contacts that you have. And it is so much better than using address book or contacts, whatever Apple's calling their thing now. And it lets you like search for whatever and find, it's more robust for searching for your contacts. And you can start whatever type of interaction you want with someone directly in the app. So it'll jump you out to your Twitter client or over to Slack or Skype or email, whatever. And they have this thing in the iOS version where you can set up a contact card. So you get your contact card set up, and then you can share that to people. It generates a QR code, so you can just hold up your screen, and they can point their phone at your screen, and then the QR code has all your data, so you don't have to worry about trying to set up a QR code. And so if you're using an iPhone that supports Force Touch, where you can get that pop-up menu, you can get right to all of that kind of stuff just from pressing. So you don't have to jump directly into the app and then go tap something else and say, here's my contact card.
So can you scan business cards into this and that kind of stuff, or is it just purely, effectively contacts?
That's a good question. I don't think you can scan business cards.
No, you can't scan, but it's not effectively contacts, but not. Because as you're typing in something, like say you were putting in my card, because I have things out on the social, it will automatically pick up the social stuff and start helping you flesh it out. Like, it's super smart. I love Card Hop. I didn't know about the iOS app yet, but it's just quite amazing. $4. You got me, Jeff.
Yeah, it was one of those apps that when the email came in saying, hey, we have a new version of the app, and I read what it was, I didn't even bother to go look at the website. I just picked up my iPhone, went to the App Store, bought it, and installed it. The Mac version is so good and so useful that it wasn't even something that I had to think twice about for my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it cleaning your contacts like so much easier and adding something real quick. And from the Mac side, you can interact. Like for me, all I have to do is just hit the hotkey and then go email Ewan, and it pulls up, the mail app, and I can just start. Like it's incredible. Card Hop is the winner.
And a one-time only purchase with absolutely no in-app purchases to follow on afterwards. And I was going to say, what is it? Oh yeah, there was a review. I just stick there. It says, yeah, this is what contact should have been. That was it. So,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Reinforced.
Yeah, they will get Sherlock or bought sooner enough because this is way better.
Yeah. Howard, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm on a foodie trip this week, so unfortunately, this app, I think you can only get it in three countries, which would be the UK, Sweden, and probably France.
Right.
But I thought it was a really good idea I was thinking more along students, because at the moment, even in the UK, I think it's only probably the main cities like London. You might check and see if you can get it in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. But it's all to do with food waste, and it's all the restaurants reduce their prices, I think, at around 3 o'clock. So you can find out what restaurants and cafes and stuff near you are discounting all their food so that you can go and buy it at a very good price.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's all your out-of-date stuff or going out-of-date or
anything. Yeah.
Life, yeah. Oh, I like that. So
yeah,
the Karma app.
Yeah.
That's kind of brilliant.
Cool. I immediately thought of students because I thought...
How do they get their data, though? Do the stores put the data on?
The stores put the data on. So you can register as a business to go in and actually update and put your food on. And then, because I know I checked, every time I check it in the morning, there are a few that come on in the morning, but most of them tend to say, look, check around 3 o'clock, because that's when they sort of know whether or not they've got stuff going.
The local supermarket by me, I have to say, I was gobsmacked. I went in there about 4 o'clock, and there was a queue of people, and they were just stood waiting for the cheap stuff at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's like they were queuing up for an hour to get the cheap food. Yeah. It's like,
wow.
I didn't realize things were that bad.
And if you stick around for the big show, I might give you another one.
Ah, okay. Mm. There we go. That's well worth doing it then.
So cool.
Cool.
But yes.
Good pick. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My cool thing is the Field World Master MA5 5-inch camera field monitor. It's a full 1080p screen. It's only 5 inches wide. It comes with a bracket and all the cabling that you need. It does HDMI in and HDMI out relay as well. And it's perfect for sticking with your camera or sticking onto a gimbal and bolting onto the side. It fits on a standard cold shoe mount. And the clarity of it is awesome. Really good. I'm getting to an age now where manual focus is becoming extremely hard. So I need a screen to make me see better than I currently do. And it is awesome. It's light, it's easy to screen, the clarity's good. They do a 5-inch, 5.5, and a 7-inch version of it that goes up to £249. But this is £169, and it's good. Can't fault it. So if you want a little monitor, I was actually thinking, if I wanted to run like a live event, I could actually get this as a little second monitor to just look at stuff for the MacBook Pro, for the Mac Pro when it was out running. I've just use one of their monitors and then take this and use it as a second monitor because it can do an HDMI and I can do a Thunderbolt from the other one. There you go. So, £169 on Amazon in the chat room. If you want any of the links, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and go to the 29th of March, February, guys, 29th of March, and you can click on the links. That's it. And all the stuff's going to be in there where you can see everyone's cool thing and all the stuff. Where can we get a hold of it?
On Amazon, trying to buy this monitor right now. I'm just trying to see if it has focus peaking. Because I need that. Because I'm like you. I'm starting to go eye crooked. So focus peaking is my savior.
Yeah.
Anyway, all over the interwebs at DOCROCK. The website is solid.fm or docrocktips.com.
The thing I forgot to say about that monitor is it runs off an LP6 or it runs off the Sony standard batteries that you get for everything.
Yeah,
F-series, yeah. Sorry. Jeffrey, where are you?
I am at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com. And on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet, both places. And Google me. I'm real easy to find.
And back for the big show at 8.
Oh, yeah. Yep, back for the big show.
Just for the purposes of that's 2.5 hours from now.
Yeah. Okay, I checked the time. I know when to be back.
Okay, cool. And we do daylight saving this week, so we go back
to the normal.
So, well, we spring forward, don't we? So it goes to the normal time.
On the 31st.
Yeah. No, it's, 31st. Howard, where can we get hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at Howie A. That's H-A-W-I-E-A. And you can also find me in the Slack room and
pimping to get us girly pundits.
Yeah, well, on that, you can actually get me on Twitter at Azure Dev. No, is it Azure Dev? I'll remember and put it in later.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We're back with the big show at 8 p.m. as normal and back with the Max show next week as well. Might be Thursday. Don't know. I've been invited to a thing on Friday that I could probably do with going to. It's at lunchtime and I don't know if I make it back in time. So we might have to transfer for Thursday. I'll have to wait and see. Or it might be big show goes to Thursday and Max show goes back an hour or something like that. But either way, we'll sort it. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Thanks for listening.